But what I really felt over the past week was Mercury, just in the last little bit of his shadow. And, what does that mean in English? Well, there's this period of time that is sort of like the sandwich, the period of times that sandwich Mercury retrograde, and that's the pre-retrograde shadow and the post-retrograde shadow. And I don't know, like, I almost feel like the post-retrograde shadow of any Mercury retrograde almost gets me more than than like the Mercury retrograde itself. Sorry guys, allergies. And there was like a couple like really big Mercury shadow themes, which I honestly think Mercury shadow themes are similar to Mercury retrograde themes, just because Mercury retrograde tends to, challenge our communication, pull us back to the past. Maybe there's stuff with modes of transportation like cars and bike problems, and you're losing things, and messages get misdelivered. That's a Mercury retrograde thing. But I think when we're in the shadow, especially the post-retrograde shadow, we're kind of in this period of integrating all of the stuff that came through to us during the Mercury retrograde. And I mention this because we're literally in the last day of the shadow. I think I'm almost certain Mercury clears his shadow tomorrow. And I want to double check because Ecstatic Astrology, Mandy Ray, she's been on the podcast before. She does a good little graphic of Mercury retrograde. So I'll read from her graphic. So Mercury retrograde in Aries entered the pre-retrograde shadow on March 18th. I'm gonna type these as I go. So March 18th was the pre-retrograde shadow. April 1st was when Mercury actually stationed retrograde. April 25th was when Mercury stationed direct. And it's going to be tomorrow on May 13th when Mercury exits the shadow. So with those dates, like pay attention to those dates, like what was happening around mid to end of March when Mercury was in the pre-retrograde shadow. And is it possible that there are still some things being integrated, up until now from things that happened in mid to late March? I think I've been finding myself really trying to almost prepare for Jupiter to leave Taurus and enter Gemini, which is the sign of Mercury. And in a weird way, I feel like Mercury and Jupiter are kind of talking to each other in a lot of ways right now. Once Mercury exits his shadow on Monday, May 18th, he'll then move on to Taurus by May 15th. So that would be Wednesday, right? Yeah, Wednesday. Monday exits the shadow, and Wednesday moves to an entirely new sign. Now, Mercury and Jupiter will have a little over a week in the same sign. So it's almost like they're in the same sign, and Mercury's delivering some important information to Jupiter before Jupiter moves into Gemini, right? And starts to be ruled by Mercury for real. And I've been thinking a lot about Jupiter and Gemini. And this shift will happen actually on May... It'll be like May 25th. So what does this mean in English? What does it mean when Jupiter, the planet of expansion, will enter the sign of Gemini? You've heard me say this before, but for me, Gemini is the sign of the excited little kid entering the library and sort of ripping through all of the books and just getting excited about every subject, right? So when we think about the planet of expansion in Gemini, there's some, really my key word lately that I've been honing in on is curiosity. I think there's some newfound curiosity that is needing to expand in our Gemini house. Now, in the coming Witch Church weeks, I don't know if it's next week or in 2 weeks, I'll do a little house forecast, rising sign forecast for Jupiter moving into Gemini. So we'll talk literally about which house it is that Jupiter will affect. But just in general, if you know your chart at all, if you know where your Gemini house is, or if you have any Gemini placements, think of this house or these placements beginning to be challenged in their ability to be curious. What's funny is Mercury isn't searching for the truth necessarily. Mercury is searching for details. Okay? Like, Mercury is collecting information, and Jupiter is the one that's sort of transforming it into a belief system or truths or a personal philosophy or even a religion. So that's why it's sometimes hard for Jupiter to become ruled by Mercury. It's not in Jupiter's nature to maybe sort of float in the curiosity and even the mindset of I'm not meant to know. There's something about Jupiter where Jupiter wants to know what is coming through. So I really think that there's something here about honing in, especially starting this week, as Mercury clears its shadow, as Jupiter's finishing up in Taurus, getting ready to move into Gemini. This week, my theme is sort of where can I let go of needing to know? Where can I release control of controlling the narrative about a situation? And where can I be more curious and also trust that, like, the universe is sort of, the universe has it for us. Like, we don't need to control the narrative because the universe has already has it. Like, they've got it under control, no worries. What the universe actually needs us to do, I think, this week is to center in on that childlike curiosity, or at least begin to. So take a moment. Let's take a moment together. And, you know, I want to take a deep breath here, and I want us to just maybe center in on something or a few things where we've really wanted to take control of the narrative. We've really wanted to find the truth, quote unquote, of the situation, a certain area of our life where the need to know the answer of how it's all going to play out is sort of taking over, you know, a little bit. You know, just center in on that. We might not even be aware of it until this moment. Like, in this moment, you might even be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize how attached I had become to finding the answer, the singular, quote unquote, right answer about how to move forward with this or that. I'll tell you right now that that is not a great way to begin to work with Jupiter and Gemini as we're feeling this shift. Because there is no answer with Gemini. It's all about curiosity. So now that you're holding that in your mind, that area of life that feels like there's high stakes even attached to it. Sometimes we want the answer so badly because there's also a really high stake attached to it. You know, we want to know where we're going to find our next job because the stake is our financial security, right? We want to know what our next relationship is going to be like because the stake is about, like, being loved and valued and seen for who we are, you know? Like, it makes sense that we would want to know the answer. But there's this juxtaposition with what Jupiter's doing right now, with what Mercury's doing right now. The juxtaposition being, we won't actually find the answer by directly searching for it, and the need to be, or at least the state of curiosity, especially joyful, childlike curiosity, is actually the frequency that we're needing to be in this next chapter in order to stumble upon the answer. And it's sort of that the minute you stop digging so in such a controlled way and you kind of let go and just have fun, it just like comes to you. Things like that happen when Jupiter is in Gemini. Yeah. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is for me in the story of all of the zodiac signs, they sort of build off one another. And Gemini is what follows Taurus. So right now, as we speak, there is a lot of Taurian energy in the sky. Like, we're not at the Gemini point right now. I'm saying this to prepare us. Because what is even the point of, you know, knowing astrology if you're not going to, like, use it to, yeah, help you prepare to be more at ease with the energetic flow of things, right? But right now, we're still in Taurus land. And Taurus, fundamentally as a sign, is about finding security, creating security, creating consistency, creating the things in our life that don't change very easily or often. So, I don't know, like when you go back to your childhood best friend's home or your own home and you walk in and you're like, oh, it still smells the same. Like, you know, that's kind of a Taurus thing. Like the things that in the material world that don't change. Or, yep, after all these years, like, you know, that couch is still in the same spot. And that's good, right? Because I think on some level, in order to feel safe in the human world, we need that security and that groundedness and that sense of having roots, which Taurus gives us. And now, from that place, now we have to take the next step or start to prepare to take the next step into Gemini. And that means Gemini doesn't necessarily mean leaving what is known and what is secure. I think that's more of a Sagittarian thing. But remember, Gemini and Sagittarius are very much connected because they're zodiacal opposites. So they carry the same themes. Gemini is sort of about, I think, using the security that we have in order to use it as like a stepping stone or a trampoline or a spring into curiosity. So we've all maybe experienced this in our lives in some way, shape, or form. The example would be, literally think about, I mean, do any of us actually remember this? Probably not, but like, if we can even think about like a little kid learning to walk and learning basic motor skills, like eating foods and sitting up and strengthening their neck muscles, crawling, walking. That in a sense is sort of like Taurus skills at their most rudimentary. Like I'm learning to be in this physical body. And then when a kid goes to preschool, right? Like they needed those sort of fundamental skills that they learned in that secure environment of their home in order to go into like this preschool environment and be with all the other kids. And it's the first time ever that they're socializing sort of, you know, with people other than their siblings and their parents and their family. And, you know, there's so many toys and there's so many different activities that are at play. And this is sort of a good metaphor, I think, for the transition from a lot of Taurus stuff that we have right now and as we're going into more Gemini kind of stuff. So preparing ourselves, lightly preparing ourselves to enter into, again, that more curious narrative. We're starting to let go of the answers we deeply desire. Something's coming through about like the state of being when we feel like we really need an answer. Like we really need an answer of how this is going to work out, or we really need an answer of the ending of how this person and us are gonna, you know, are we gonna stay friends? Are we not? Are we, you know, going to build this thing together or not? Am I gonna get this job or not? I would say sometimes when we're in the frequency of really wanting and digging for answers, we almost keep ourselves from exploring. Because the ego says, actually, you need to get this answer so you can move forward, right? So you can take the next step. But in reality, how many times in our life does the answer actually land on our doorstep wrapped in a bow and is like, okay, here's what you were looking for. You can move on now. Okay, yeah, your boss is always going to be a jerk and it's not going to really get better. So you either need to accept that or move on. Like, there's, like, nothing's going to actually give us the concrete answer that we so desire so often about multiple things in our life, right? And that's when we shift in the Gemini and we say, okay, letting go of, like, that need for the concreteness of what the future holds. Actually, the only way I'm even going to even dip my toe into the surface of this question is to explore and experiment. Bring new things in. That's the thing. In order to answer a question, we need information. Okay, and that's where sometimes we get stuck. Because we're sitting, we're trying to figure something out in the cerebral mind, when it's really like information we need to go out and experience. That's what we're kind of sitting in right now in the next 2 weeks as we wait for Jupiter to move into Gemini, as we kind of see all of these Taurus placements, the sun, Venus, Jupiter start to move into Gemini. And we'll talk about this more again. I think next week I'll do some rising sign forecasts with all of the planets, or most, I would say a good chunk of the planets moving into Gemini. But let's see, by May 20th, it'll be Gemini season. And then by May 24th, Venus will be in Gemini. And then May 25th, Jupiter moves into Gemini. So, again, we've got like 2 weeks where we're sitting in this Taurus energy. Sometimes we get antsy. Sometimes we get antsy at the end of Taurus. The last decan of Taurus. Because we're like, oh God, I want to know the thing that will give me security. And Gemini says, okay, time to go and roll the dice a little bit. Okay. So that is sort of the cosmic energy over the next 2 weeks. Again, tomorrow though, Mercury will clear his shadow. Tomorrow, even though we're still in a lot of the Taurus energy, once Mercury clears his shadow on May 13th, there's at least some clarity maybe with how to do such experimentation that I speak of. I mean, we're not actually ready to do it until like end of May, early June. Maybe some of us are. If you are ready, do it. If you are ready to go collect that information, experiment with new things, you know, help the universe help you. If you're in the energy of change, then the universe can meet you. If you're in the energy of, I'm just going to sit in my house, try to figure this out inside of my mind, it's much harder for the universe to meet you. That's what we're kind of struggling with a little bit in the next week or so, but it doesn't have to be a struggle. We can go out there and accept that the answer that we are looking for is not going to come to us through more rumination. That's the gift. That's the gift of Taurus stuff turning into Gemini. Let's actually pull
for this week ahead.
Oh, God, I hate when that happens.
Let's pull for the week ahead some oracle cards. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Let's go. You know, there's a couple things in my life where, you know, I think this relates to Mercury clearing shadow in my 10th house of career. I think there's been like a few questions about like, you know, do I make more local astrology? Do I invest in a local astrology group? Do I invest in an online astrology group? You know, do I start figuring out how to do readings, have an in-person reading spot in Chicago that's not a coffee shop? You know, like, do I do this? Do I do that? And I've kind of settled on, you know, it's both and, which is a Gemini thing, right? You got to do it twice. You got to do it. Got to do it both ways, which is kind of nice with Gemini. But also, like, I'm not going to know unless I just do it and see what happens. That's actually the gift, I think, sometimes of the Gemini mind. Like, the stakes are low. Not in a bad way, but, like, who cares? If you try it and it doesn't work out, who cares? If you thought it was your dream to go to burlesque dancing school and you sign up and you hate it and it's really hard and you go elsewhere, like, who cares? Visit an apartment, you don't like it, big whoop. You know, like, we place such high stakes on things not working, especially sometimes when things are in Taurus, right? When it's hard to change things. But in Gemini, that's why I love Gemini energy at times. Like, the stakes are low and just the ability to move energy is a lot easier because it's mutable, right? Okay, so we're going to do a little past, present, future spread. Oh, this is so funny. Okay, so past, we have boundaries. And this isn't necessarily an energy that is, I don't really feel that it's alluding to us having boundaries with, like, others or those, like, you know, like, it's not necessarily a relational boundary that I'm feeling. It's actually the boundaries that we have placed over how it's almost like the order of operations, like how things have to go, and the order of operations of how my career has to go, how my relationship has to go. How do we have to break up? How do we have to get back together? How do we do this? How do we do that? Like, all of these societal implications of how to do things are also boundaries, and boundaries can sometimes become limitations. Again, limitations are often a good thing, especially if someone comes over to your house unannounced and, like, emotionally dumps on you. You know, like that would be a boundary and a limitation that would be beneficial to you if you made that boundary. But sometimes boundaries and limitations limit us in a more negative way, where they're sort of created by our own egos. We don't even realize our ego feels like we have to do it this one way. Okay, so doing things via the proper order of operations is sort of what's passing through us. And in the current position, we have that new moon, right? So we just had that new moon in Taurus last week. We've got all of the stuff in Taurus right now. Even though that new moon had really benefic qualities. Like, it was, you know, it was co-present with Jupiter, co-present with Venus. I felt so tired. I still feel tired from it in a lot of ways. And I think there's some message coming through where holding faith and holding out hope and staying relatively optimistic about those new moon seeds is actually wise. And I pulled the Knight of Pentacles this morning too, and it reminded me, gosh, there's such wisdom in Taurus, because Taurus knows just because the end result isn't in front of us right now doesn't mean it's not growing towards that in the background, right? Like, no other sign has that wisdom quite like Taurus does. Like, Taurus doesn't quite need the material evidence like the other earth signs do in order to know that something is growing, right? So I think being in this place, relating back to the new moon card, being in this place of like just knowing and having faith that your seeds are planted and that the universe is meeting you halfway and you are safe to explore and help the universe meet you, right? What's funny is in the future we have truth. So funny that we were talking about like the answer. And water. This makes me feel like in this situation, one of the reasons, like, the divine guidance I'm feeling about this week, even the next like 2 or 3 weeks, is like, let go of the concrete answer, let go of your attachment to finding the concrete answer. It's because the truth of the situation is actually not concrete. So it's almost like we're searching for something that's tangible, but all we're doing is like running our fingers through water. Like, we're not actually going to be able to pick up something tangible. And in this situation, the truth is mutable. The truth is changing. The answer is changing. Perhaps the answer isn't quite solidified yet. Sometimes I think that happens when in our sort of human experience of having free will and the ability to make choices, but also the ability to tune into our intuition for what is right for us. Sometimes there's these moments where I kind of hit a block where I'm like, oh, I can't really feel into like what's actually going to happen, or like, you know, it's almost like, not a block of intuition, but it's almost just this neutral place of, I can't really pin down what's going to happen. Sometimes when we feel that, it's because the truth and the sort of reality of the situation, it's still forming, and we still have some decisions that we need to make in order to, like, let's say, set the path ahead, right? So if you have no idea what's coming next, good. Good. That's good, actually, in this sense, because right now the answer is so mutable. You're actually in a good place, in a weird way, to be more flexible. I would say attachment to one singular answer or heading one singular place isn't necessarily going to serve us, especially in the next couple weeks as Taurus moves into Gemini. as many Taurus placements move into Gemini. And there are more answers that are coming through to us that just right now we have to accept that we have to tune in to taking action without those answers, because those answers aren't tangible or concrete yet. So what can we do now without them? Okay. So love this for you. Love this for you, my friends. I hope this helps a lot. I am not going to do individual polls this week, but I am going to do a really quick, earth, fire, water, and air tarot card poll. So you can pick whatever element resonates with you the most right now. There's no wrong answer. It could be based off of your astrology, but it could also be based off of just like how you're feeling right now and what element is speaking to you the most right now. But pick an element: water, earth, fire, or air. Okay. Okay. So if you picked water, Three of Pentacles comes through. So in this next couple weeks, I think it's important to network and connect as much as you can. I'm getting, don't make assumptions about other people's willingness to help you or provide clarity for you. Don't make assumptions about like, oh, that person like wouldn't be able to help me, or that person is going to be able to help me find exactly what I'm looking for. Don't make assumptions about what people you're going to receive from others. Just be in the frequency of receptivity. Be in the frequency of like, hey guys, like, hey, my friends, like, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. If anybody can help, let me know. And see what comes through. But ultimately, the next couple weeks is sort of like a group project where a lot of opportunities and a lot of things are being sorted out in a context of you and others. So whatever answers you're looking for aren't individually, solely individually guided, if that makes sense. Okay, if you picked fire, we got the Hermit. Hell yeah. It's funny, it's kind of like the opposite for people who picked fire. It's time to really hone in on your own personal wisdom. You don't need other people's input as much as you think. A good question to ask yourself is, do you really need other people's input and help, or are you actually trying to get their approval? You know, because there's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference between like help me make this decision versus what decision would you make if you were me? Like, there's kind of a difference between those two questions. And I'm just getting sort of a release from needing other people's approval to move forward. And really centering in on your own internal compass. Water, fire, earth. Boom. The ultimate earth energy. Seven of Pentacles. I'm actually getting earth signs. Like, it feels like sometimes we don't take our own advice. You know? So, other people need to hear from you in order to keep their faith about a certain situation. But also, you need to keep your faith about a certain situation. And anything you can do to like renew your faith in moving forward. We need your help. We do need your help to move to keep our faith. But I think putting your own, you know, helping yourself first and making sure that you're intact with that mantra of personal belief. That feels really important right now, earth signs. And lastly, air signs. The air element. We got the Three of Wands. Cool. So, no surprise here. The air element is having the easiest transition with going from all of this Taurus energy to welcoming in a lot more Gemini energy. Feels like the air element, you guys have got this. You're ready to be curious. You're ready to let go of the need for answers. You're ready to be that little kid in the library ripping through the books. And you got this. I mean, yeah, the air element, you guys are going to show us the way, I think, with just by moving in your frequency. You're going to set an example for us of how to energetically respond to the planets and the energies that are brewing with us this week. So I'm excited. I'm excited for all of us. My friends, happy Sunday. The Switch Church went by so fast. I'm going to leave a little bit early. You know, Mother's Day, Sunday. It's a busy one. It's a busy one. Happy Mother's Day to everybody and sending love and care to everybody. And lots of love to you guys. Reach out with your Mercury out of its shadow stories. If anything interesting happens on May 13th, Monday. And I'll see you guys in the next couple weeks, and we'll do some rising sign forecasts for Jupiter and Gemini. Cool. Bye, friends.